Hello and welcome back to Beyond Sermons, where we seek Jesus Christ beyond the pulpit. In our first episode, we discussed the age of the earth according to the Bible. It was estimated that the earth was created by God a little over 7,200 years ago. That's a much lower estimate than the billions of years professed in the scientific community. Today we're going to take a look at the theory of evolution and contrast it with a biblical worldview. If you benefit at all from what you hear, please consider subscribing. Dave Thompson, a young earth creationist, will be joining us for a spirited discussion about Darwin and the theory of evolution.
Why is it that you don't believe in evolution? Like, what was the first thing that made evolution questionable to you at such a young age when you were basically, you know, challenging your teacher at that time?
Well, the first spark that I can think of is I was busy looking out the window at an oak tree when she said that, and I thought, my goodness, that acorn's going to make another oak tree. That's the only thing it's going to make.
Yeah.
You know, there's no debate about this.
Sure, sure.
That's that tree, and you know, it's been designed by God to reproduce itself in its same form, or as we look at other species of animals as well as plants and stuff within their kind is the way it's described in scripture is their kind, and that's what it's referring to is like the cat kind or the wolf kind or elephant kind.
Yeah.
That these are describing a limit within the genome that it can go and still remain a viable animal because there is crossbreeding with a lot of these animals, and they're finding it with big cats. They seem to be really exploring that thing between lions and tigers is a liger or a tie-in.
I've seen one of those, yeah.
Yeah, but they've even got it to where some of their definitions have to be specific or they start getting lost in communicating with other people that are doing these things on.
Yeah.
And it defines which one was the male and which one was the female.
So, now, before we go too deep into the various different kinds, I think we'll probably talk about that in more details when we're talking about the actual flood and the Noah Ark and so forth. But before we get to that, though, with the theory of evolution or evolution, you know, just being respectful to both communities here. Like, where did that come from? What's the origin of that? Like, what is the authority behind the theory of evolution to begin with?
I don't know if I could actually answer that.
I think I can answer it.
Okay.
I think it's Darwin. He basically came up with that idea, and I think he wrote basically a book about the theory of evolution.
He was the one that popularized it.
Okay.
He wasn't the first one to have that analysis. I mean, there's been that philosophy for many, many years, and he put it in a form that would be understandable to the way he looked at it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we have to be familiar with is that we all have a tendency to do this. You know, I'm not going to slap him around or anything like that for what he came up with, but a lot of this information that does bolster a young earth wasn't available then.
Yeah.
And so if these guys were looking at, are we to a point where I can talk about the 4-million-year-old bone down here?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I went through the same analysis in the depth of dirt above a bone, you can calculate that if you make an assumption, which is testable. You start with your assumption and then a hypothesis, and then you can find a place where you can actually measure the height of this excavation or cliff or spalled off area in a creek bed or whatever. And measure, let's say, 40 feet from the base of it to the top of it, and then measure that again 10 years later and see if there's additional topsoil been placed, which is, it's not really topsoil, it's dust from the air and stuff falls out of space and survives through the atmosphere and actually piles up on our Earth. But that is the standard that they used, was is that this is called the geological column. And within that column, they were able to identify, here's this fossil, here's this kind of rock, here's this kind of fossil, which is different than the one that was lower, and so on and so forth.
And this is all sort of stemming from what Darwin popularized as evolution?
It was a way to look at it in some form of order, so that they could communicate like the ligers and the Tyans.
So was Darwin an outlier when it came to his theory of evolution? Was it widely accepted or popularized in the scientific?
It was easy to understand. You know, the finch beaks are a big deal in the Galapagos.
Yeah.
That he was looking at that as a evolutionary act.
Yeah.
The finches, though, never got out of their kind just because their beak changed shape.
That's an example of microevolution, right?
Micro, right. Okay. Microevolution has actually been misused even from a communicative standpoint.
So
that is what they were talking about when they used the term specialization, adaptation. Those words we know, but they sound like they're talking about evolution. They're not talking about evolution. They're talking about a change within a kind.
Yeah.
And what that means to us as believers in Scripture and a creator is that finch already had the capability of making all those different shapes of beaks.
Yeah.
But it can't get, let's say, a tail that's got bone in it and a tuft of hair on the end of it that looks like a lion and still breed with the finch.
Okay.
See, that's macro change. That's macro evolution.
So there's
changing to a different kind, and that's what we don't see.
Oh, so there's no evidence of that right now, macro evolution?
No. I'm, you know, me not being a scientist,
sure.
I always have this reserve of how much of a statement can I make that doesn't have at least a plausible angle to it. But the evolutionists, see, have been using this plausibility as their big hammer to drive this into millions of hours of study and everything else, where some of the things that were printed in the textbooks and may still be, probably are still in the textbooks, are not true.
You know what? I remember a headline a while back of macroevolution. I think it was National Geographic headline about they found a like Tyrannosaurus Rex, but it had like wings of a pterodactyl, and unfortunately it was kind of debunked. It was quite exciting news, but it was debunked in the sense that some Chinese guy, you know, sort of fiddled with like a dig up site or whatever, or an excavation site, I should say, to be more proper, and sort of like mixed up of some bones and so forth, and basically, you know, made some money, basically.
Oh yeah, he sure did.
Yeah. Chinese know how to make money.
I don't know if this is true, but I for some reason $80,000 transaction sticks in my mind, but
sure.
I don't know for sure.
Yeah,
but. Yes, I think I don't think it was as big as a T-Rex. It was something that was imprinted on a rock, because I remember seeing that article, now that you're mentioning it.
Okay.
But it struck me that it was more like a 2-foot kind of thing. But what the article that I read about the hoax of it was that this guy was able to glue two different fossils together so precisely that it couldn't be detected for several months. And here National Geographic or some museum had paid a ton of money for this thing because it looked like a transitional form, when in fact it was two different animals. And he just spliced it together in such a way it looked real. And I think that's basically, it's not so much an illustration of hoaxing to me as it does the readiness of the evolutionary community to grasp at straws, as it were.
Yeah, yeah.
They should have, you know, they've got something that's kind of stagnant right there. In other words, it's not going to get up and walk around the table. Yeah. They can take the time to look at this stuff a little closer than that.
Yeah, before popularizing it.
Yes, if they found out it was a hoax 3 or 4 or 5, 6, 2 years later, maybe even, or months later, then they certainly had the intellect to be able to detect it in 10 minutes if they put the right information and scrutiny to it.
Yeah.
To begin with, which they should.
Yeah, I'm sure some of those scientists got a grant out of it. So,
that's another point.
Yeah, right. scientists are human too, you know?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I hear about a lot of these different, you know, facets of evolution, you know, microevolution, macroevolution, you know, adaptation, I don't know, was it speciation or some other special terms. I will admit I'm not super knowledgeable of this area. But one thing that did concern me, and I will admit that I have not read the full book, but I was curious about, you know, the origin of species. Which was written by Darwin, mid-1800s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What concerned me about it was the original title. And the original title is On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. That's a really long title. But the tail end of that title concerned me, you know, Darwin is not in my family history. We do not have the same genes. We are of different races. And it concerns me that here's a book, a scientific book that potentially wanted to basically pick and select races to survive on this earth. You know, in this current climate that we're in, and this is a very difficult topic, but in this current time, and to think, it makes me wonder, when somebody says they're evolutionists, how does that cross over with their perspectives on race? If they're so dedicated to, you know, Darwin, you know, who is a human scientist who probably had his biases back in the 1800s when racism was a very, I mean, you had a civil war, you know, to me, it just strikes me as a blow to the theory of evolution because it is biased in such a way. And I personally, you talk about how it went from theory of evolution to evolution. I guess I'm more offended by it changing from being On the Origin of Species or the Preservation of Favored Races and Struggles. And now that's been concatenated to just On the Origin of Species.
Right.
You know, so that's an area where I am a little bit offended, but yet very cautious about what's the end game of evolution. Why is it that it's being pushed so much? And should it be dismissed just on that fact alone of the full title? This is probably appeal more to the non-religious audiences or those who are very ethnic sensitive.
They should.
Yeah.
In all cases, though.
Mm-hmm. The audio listeners, the host of the show is a black man, and the guest is a white man who I love very dearly. All right.
I just wanted to put that out there. That was good for you to
absolutely think about. Absolutely. You know, we're in the midst of Black Lives Matter and all that stuff. And here we are talking about a social issue when it comes to the age of the earth.
It does merge somehow or some way.
Yeah, I don't want to give the impression out there that this is like a social activist podcast, but we do talk about it because it does exist, and we know in scriptures it does talk about social justice, mediation by God on occasions.
Yeah,
just wanted to throw that out there, just to be open and honest with everyone. But you know, the end game of the theory of evolution, if this is how it started with the preservation of favored races as part of the title, like, why are we still, why is it still being popularized today in the science classes?
If you'll bear with me, Chris.
Sure.
I'm gonna ask for your participation in this more of as a discussion than just listening to Dave Thompson's opinion.
Sure, I respect that.
Because of the complexity of this.
Absolutely.
All right.
You have my support.
The Mein Kampf made references to the evolutionary theory that did include this favored races situation. And I agree with you absolutely that this is, it has an agenda attached to it, apparently, because there's, you know, to go from Darwin's description of the theory of evolution into a favored race statement, there's going to be so many people that will say that's not what he said. You looked it up. You know perfectly well that's what he titled it originally. He knew what he was saying. He's a big boy. So let's let him fall by the same sword that he drew. And this is what we see, is that the application, from what I know about it, Chris, you got to jump in on me on any of this.
Sure.
This looks to me very much like a control issue. If God is in control, it's certainly contrary to what these people want to have come out.
Yeah.
They want to be in control. You and I both know, we've seen enough cartoons in our lives and fantasy shows to know that all you have to do to mask this is make Mother Nature the top dog, not God.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
So in light of that, this idea that there is a difference between the races because it has something to do with evolution, that is a huge thing. And a lot of the people that believe in evolution really ought to pick up their little bag and leave town.
And that's the thing, too. I mean, the impact of the theory of evolution in not just the archaeology world and the scientific world, but in the social world is, you know, I believe Hitler, you know, a name people are very pessimistic about. Well, and I am too.
They know it. I mean, it's a familiar name.
Used some of the theory of evolution as part of his manifesto.
Right.
That's my understanding. I haven't done.
Well, that was the justification of getting rid of the Jews.
Sure.
Getting rid of the homosexuals. Getting rid of a lot of different strains. Gypsies.
He murdered a lot of gypsies.
And here's a whole bunch of Caucasian people with these different races here, and he found it reasonably justified for them to go to the same camp as anybody else.
Yeah.
That he wanted to get rid of.
I mean, and also, too, you know, and there was a time where it's all about IQs and so forth, you know, like talk about certain races have higher IQs than others.
I don't know. I don't think there's that much proof.
Honestly, I don't subscribe
personally.
I don't subscribe to IQs at all. As far as I'm concerned, they're meaningless numbers, you know. Whether you're 100 or 140, what does it indicate? It really doesn't make much of a difference to me. And the only reason why I think we're kind of segueing here, this is still part of evolution, because I see this is how the theory of evolution is evolving.
That's a true statement.
And those are just some of the hints that I've seen without being, you know, too cognizant of the subject throughout my entire life. But as I'm talking to you right now, I'm kind of having these little flashbacks and thinking about, this is how evolution has sort of reared its head throughout society.
Yeah.
Especially after reading the full title of the original manuscript.
Right.
And then, of course, he wrote some other books as well, too, which I believe he wrote The Descent of Man and Selection in Relation to Sex as well, too. You know, so as a person who has not read these books, read these books fully, you know, I want to apologize to the audience for probably overlooking maybe some glaring chapters that may be of the opposite. But to have that title to begin with, you know, those are things that just, that's just really bold.
Well,
it's very, very bold.
It is. And,
you know, it's not a surprise that
they weren't as answerable in those days as they are now. I mean, you know, you look at our social media, all of a sudden, something that you say can be used against you.
Oh, yeah, cancel culture is
real. Turned around, yes. Sure. And I don't necessarily side with these analogies on how to cope with society, because if the sun has a big magnetic burp someday and does away with all of our technologies, we're going to have to revert to the old style of communication, like talking to each other.
Yeah.
But these, just what has been communicated in the last 5-7 minutes is an absolutely honest declaration of the problems that people ignore in regards to the evolutionary thought process. We don't realize how intricately it's forcing its little concerns into our lives because we don't think that we feel that way.
Yeah.
Look at the theory, just like what you're saying. What did the author say? What did he believe? Who used it? What was the outcome of it? Like millions of people being justifiably murdered.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. There's something wrong with this.
Yeah.
And people will say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with evolution. I'm sorry, it does.
Yeah.
It absolutely has something to do with evolution. Now, you can say that I don't believe this and I don't believe that. But what we're finding, and this is going to cross the line to where we eventually want to go for you to be able to publish this. I'm just going to put it out there because you can always erase it. But I believe in all honesty with things that I have seen through some of these magazines that I subscribe to, which you know about, there's a couple of them that are very, very well put together because they are scientifically based and stuff of this nature. And we'll mention their names sometime here pretty soon.
You can mention their names now, but what is it that you believe, though?
The new science that has come up and is always improving and everything, and a lot of these people are hailing this as, oh, see, this proves evolution. Mm-hmm. A lot of this new stuff does not prove evolution. It proves that the Earth very possibly could be much younger than billions of years, maybe more in line with thousands of years than millions of years even.
Yeah.
And if we start looking at that, people are going to make reasons to disregard it.
Yeah.
Or say that, oh, this analogy that they made about the theory of evolution and the title of the book kind of blows out of proportion, something that I don't take offense over. Chris took offense over it. I don't blame you for offense over that. I wouldn't blame anybody that has experienced these prejudices that come out of this stuff.
Sure.
But we're talking about many different kinds of prejudices. Okay, so let's talk one of the basics that is this subject.
Yeah.
My prejudice of using scripture to look and perceive how my world looks and that the creation was made to glorify the God creator. All right? Well, let's look at the other side of that. What about the justification for evolution? All right? 99% of the people that you'd talk about evolution would not have the thought that you had about the title, maybe telling a truth about what the title maker thought.
Yeah. And tell you the truth, after I had that epiphany and I did a little bit more research, I may have found some videos. The people that usually critique that change of title were minorities.
Is that right? Yeah.
In my early research, you know, as soon as I saw the title, I don't know, there was just something about my biology that reacted to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And yes, you know, I'm not used to hearing people who are of different ethnicity as myself, who are typically of a majority of status, mm-hmm. Mentioning that, you know? So I'm glad that we're in this podcast where we can able to have this discussion. And, you know, this is an ethnically diverse. Well,
I am too, Chris. And I tell you quite honestly, if someone said that to me, and I probably heard it before. Sure. I have to admit this in high school or junior high school or sure. whatever. But it doesn't mean what we were able to just make of it. We didn't have the life experience
sure.
at the time we first perceived that to yeah. be able to look for and hope for and pray for the wisdom
yeah.
and discernment of, well, does this mean something a little more deep than we ever thought of it before?
Yeah.
I just heard it as a title change.
Yeah.
But what do the words mean?
Yeah. And in defense to you as well too, and I've experienced this on time as well too, you know, the balance between ethnicity and me worshiping God. You know, I'm a black man, but I'm also mm-hmm. a Christian. You know, there are times and where
you're made in the image of God.
Exactly. Likewise yourself as well too, you know. So for me, when it comes to looking at the theory of evolution and looking at this, you know, there was a part of me that looked at it as a Christian where I'm just like, okay, mm-hmm. you know what? Is the theory of evolution, is this a religion or is this science? Okay. That's and then as a black man.
You might want to repeat that.
Is the theory of evolution a religion or is it science? You know, mainly right. because of how I've seen the theory of evolution impacts society outside of scientific discoveries, mm-hmm. as well. I'm talking about in terms of sure. social implications.
Yeah.
And then also too, as a black man, when I looked at the title once again, you know, I thought about, wow, is this a document? You know, is this a very well-educated document designed to basically wipe out people like me?
Yeah.
You know, enslave people like me.
If I may add, there is a generalization that goes along with this too.
Yeah,
you're not out of line to say or feel what you're saying and feeling.
Thank you.
But when we look at the prejudices that occur, especially using Nazis in Germany, that. They didn't make a soul prejudice against blacks or Jews or gypsies and so on and so on and so on. All they did was they were justifying the way they went about this. They may have wanted to kill them regardless of what Darwin said.
True.
But he certainly gave them a good justification for it.
Good point.
Not that it was correct by yeah. any means, but we see a lot of races that have had, excuse me, issues struck against their nationality just because of their nationality from a very general standpoint. My heritage on my wife's side has a lot of Irish in it, and we have found out that the first slaves that came over from Ireland, literally slaves, were three little girls, and they were all under 10 years old.
Yeah.
And they weren't indentured servants. They were bought as slaves.
Yeah.
And so these injustices. The King of England had an injustice against the Irish because of a political stuff, but he was using these as excuses that were similar to, and that was long before Darwin published his book.
Oh, okay. So he was using sort of like evolution tactics or
yeah, they were trying. We found out
me and my sort of class warfare. Right?
Yes, it was a class warfare. Okay, absolutely.
Got
yes.
Got you.
Thank you for saying that.
So yeah. So before we go ahead and demonize, I guess Darwin. You know, before we demonize him, like you know, yeah. This is a very smart man. I'm sure he's done a lot of good things as well too. But it's important that you brought that up because this kind of reiterates the fact that evolution or evolutionary thoughts or thoughts on evolution preceded Darwin. That you know, yes. if anything, he probably more formalized it mm-hmm. into some sort of document that we either love or hate today, right? So, as the end of this segment, the question sort of comes up again, this time rhetorically, mm-hmm. Is the theory of evolution, is it just science or does it have potential for religious substance?
No, we know that it has potential for the religious substance.
There we go. So that was your rhetorical answer.
The problem is the general public application of it, because we've all been taught it. Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of people walk away from the Christian church as well throughout the years. And it doesn't mean that evolution or creation had anything to do with some of these things. The problem is exactly what you have talked about in this particular section is there are little seedlings that sprout off of that theory of evolution that we don't recognize as being a part of the theory of evolution, but it absolutely is a evolutionary worldview.
Well, we just wrapped up another episode of Beyond Sermons. The theory of evolution is a huge topic, and it's impossible to cram all the details into a single episode. But next week, we will explore dating methods for fossils and other archaeological discoveries. So please subscribe and get notified. Thanks for stopping by, and may God bless us all. Stay tuned.